Our reading today is from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, hello everybody. So, I'm retiring from my role as associate vicar here at St. Giles, and Howell and I, my husband and I, are going to be moving up to Yorkshire, to Ilkley. Initially, we are going to take some time to travel. So we're going to take 10 weeks to be on holiday, and we're going to go to New Zealand and Australia, where we're going to see lots of old friends that we knew from years and years ago. And we're going to do some exciting things like rafting down a river in Tasmania and trekking along the coast in New Zealand through a national park called the Abel Tasman National Park. We're going to be seeing a 90-mile beach in north of New Zealand. And we're going to go in Australia to the Northwest Territories around Darwin, which apparently are full of crocodiles. So it's exciting to be able to take a period to travel. Then when we get back, we are going to start looking for a house up in Ilkley. There's lots of things that are yet to be decided. So we have found a lovely church in Ilkley called All Saints. The vicar there is quite new, and he's well known to some people who've been at St. Giles for some time because he used to worship at St. Giles, his sister too. It feels like a new chapter for that church, and Howell and I are looking forward to working in that church and just in supporting Mike and Lisa and the team there. Although to begin with, we're going to take a bit of time just to get to know people and try and have a sense of what God is calling us to do. So there's new things ahead, and we will miss St. Giles greatly because people here have become very special to us. But I wanted to, I'll talk more about that in a minute, but I wanted to talk about the joy that we have. I guess it's all of us, but especially for me, the joy of receiving a letter, a handwritten letter especially. Have you had special letters from people? And when you open them or when the postman brings that handwritten envelope, you are excited to see who it's from. Well, you probably recognise the handwriting anyway. When we were clearing out our loft, I came across all of the letters that I had written to Howell and Howell had written to me when we were engaged, and he was in the Yemen and I was in England, in Twickenham. So you're very privileged, because I didn't dare read these out at the morning service when I preached. I read some other letters. But you are going to get just a little snippet of the love letters that Howell and I wrote to each other. They are edited, I have to say. So here's one from Howell. And I have to explain, actually, that these letters took a long time to get from Yemen, from the agricultural project in the middle of nowhere, back to London. They had to be taken by Land Rover up to Sana'a, the capital. There they were collected in a bag and sent out to the airport through the embassy and put on a plane in the diplomatic bag. They would be delivered to the Foreign and Commonwealth Office in London and then posted from there to me in Twickenham. So these letters have come a long way, and they were a great effort to write. Anyway, here's what Howell wrote. Diana, and then brackets, I've run out of adjectives. Dearest, darling, dearly, lovely, adorable. They are all implied in a simple Diana. And then he goes on, I'm feeling rather sleepy as I write this. The rest of it's boring. Another one. My dear Diana, I was thinking about you today. Not that I haven't thought about you every day since I've been here, and numerous times at that. But today I was thinking about you and praying for you as you got ready to leave for India. And he goes on to talk about me visiting India in my work for Tear Fund. Well, two lovely, lovely letters. Here's one that I wrote to Howell. Hi there, honey bear. You're like Yogi Bear, big, soft and cuddly. Maybe I ought to call you Yogi. Love letters to somebody that you love are very special, aren't they? Because they're very personal and very intimate. We don't receive many love letters now, perhaps. Communication has changed. So I don't communicate with my children who are overseas through letters very much at all. We send WhatsApp messages or Facebook messages or ring on FaceTime. But I was thinking the other day, there won't be a record of all those conversations, all those things, in quite the same way that I've got a record of those letters for Howell. And then there's thank you letters. I remember my mum insisting that I sit down at the table, she'd get a piece of notepaper and she'd rule lines and stand over me while I wrote my thank you letters for birthday presents or Christmas presents. Again, you don't get so many thank you letters now. I try and make sure that I do send a little card or a little message to people to say thank you. Here's a letter that my daughter wrote. I don't know whether I was standing over her with a ruler to make sure that she wrote this. But it's her thank you letter at 9 years old to her grandma and grandpa, who we call Nine and Tide, Welsh. Dear, dearest Nine and Tide, thank you very, 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 very much for the T-shirt and the spelling game. They are great. I got 4 nail varnishes for my birthday. I also got 10,000 shillings. That sounds a lot, doesn't it? It was about £10 in Tanzanian shillings. I'm going to spend some of it on nail varnish remover and put the rest into my wallet. I don't want to put it in my bank account because I've a lot of money in there already. Lots and lots and lots of love from Tamsin. I just love the way that children express themselves. Sometimes it's very amusing, isn't it? Well, actually, the Bible is a book of many different kinds of writing. And some of the books in the Bible are letters. And what we had read today is a letter that Paul wrote to the churches, or a group of people who were very special people to him. He'd stayed with them and visited them and lived with them in Philippi. It's his letter to the Philippians. And it's a thank you letter. He's thanking them for the gift that they had sent him, that was brought by somebody called Epaphroditus. We think of perhaps Paul's letters in the Bible as being kind of heavy going and full of theological arguments and big words and kind of slightly tortuous. But actually this one, his letter to the Philippians, was very warm, very personal, and he had a soft spot for the church. He says, "I thank God every time I remember you, and I always pray with joy. It's right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart." Get that? He had them in his heart. He says, "I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus." Well, I wonder what your view of church is. If I say the word church, maybe you immediately think of a building. Maybe you think of an old building, a damp building, a cold building with a slightly musty smell. Maybe you think of old-fashioned services or whatever. But for Paul, the idea of church was always a community of people, a group of people that he loved, a people that he carried on his heart, a people that had become really special to him. And he prays for them that their love would abound more and more. Well, as Liz says, it's my last day, my last Sunday at St. Giles. And I've been getting a little bit sad as I've looked out and seen not just a sea of faces, but people who I've shared life with over these last 4.5 years. People who've become special to me. People that actually, yes, I have in my heart. And I will carry a little bit of each of you and St. Giles with me when I move. But there's three things I just want to draw from what Paul writes in this first chapter of his letter. Things that perhaps we can learn from. And first of all, it's that he was such an encouragement. He wrote to encourage the Christians. And encouragement can be very powerful, can't it? If we tell people, like Paul did, "You're great. You're doing really well. I really appreciate you." It really helps people to move on, to move forward. And it's an encouragement for us to be those that encourage other people too. I think when our life has been full of negative messages, then it's very easy for us to be discouraged and crippled and paralyzed by those negative messages that are spoken over us. But actually, when people take the time to encourage us with kind words that build us up, then that can be a real boost for us. So even when life is difficult, we can keep going if there are people there to encourage us. So our challenge is to be people who encourage others, like Paul did. The second thing is the gift of joy. This letter is sometimes called the Epistle of Joy because 16 times in these four chapters, Paul talks about that word joy or a derivative of joy, rejoice. Sometimes it's hard perhaps to feel joy when life is hard. But you have to understand that Paul wrote this letter while he was in prison, and he was chained to a prison guard with 3 foot of chain. He was awaiting trial, and the result of this trial might be that he would be executed, or it might be that he was released. Yet he still writes with joy. He knows joy. How can he know joy when he's possibly facing a death sentence? It's because he knew Jesus. He knew what it was to have a relationship with Jesus. He knew what it was to be loved by Jesus. So he could have that joy even when his circumstances were hard. And rather than getting embittered and angry and despondent and distressed, he was able to communicate that joy that came from being sure of his future in Christ. So encouragement, joy, and the third thing is that it's all about love. He prays that their love may abound more and more. I think he's talking about knowing that we are loved, that we're loved by God, and also about loving others, sharing that love. Again, that's something we can learn from, to show that love, reflect that love, to know that love for ourselves, that even when we're not surrounded by those that love us, we can know God's love for us, which is a love that we don't have to earn. It's a love that's undeserved, but a love that is faithful and will keep going eternally. God will never give up on us. God always loves us and accepts us. So three things then to draw from this letter. An encouragement to you to be one who encourages others, to know that gift of joy that comes from knowing Jesus, even when the circumstances of life are hard, and to know the love, that your love may abound more and more. So keep going in your faith, even on, especially when you find yourself in difficult circumstances, and know that God loves you. And try reading this letter. I read you some of my love letters, but recognize that this letter from the Bible is God's letter to you, the way that God addresses you. It's personal, it's warm, it's full of love, it's full of encouragement. And I'd encourage you to read the love letter that God has sent us in the Bible, and to keep going in your faith. Thank you.